welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about. That's what brings us to our last topic of the day. The Wall Street Journal wrote the article, "Can You Solve Loneliness? These Startups Are Betting on It." And I, without even getting into the details, I just thought the idea of a business focused on alleviating loneliness or being a person who is patronizing such a business, it has the same problem as focusing really hard on trying to be happy. Because focusing on trying to be happy is usually the surest path to frustration, because happiness is the feeling you get when the necessary prerequisites for happiness are fulfilled, but you're actually too busy enjoying yourself to think about whether you're happy or not. And so if you're like going to a place where you're like, I'm going to solve my loneliness, it's just questionable how that's really going to play out. But the practitioner who is running this anti-loneliness, it's hard to tell, actually. It seems like it has a nonprofit and for-profit arm. And this person says things like, "Our sense of loneliness is literally making us sick. There's this chemistry of sadness permeating all of our cities right now. It's up to us to shift that chemistry." And then I imagine her saying, continuing on, like, "So I hope that when you go back to sit alone in your studio apartment where you don't know your neighbors, much less talk to them, you'll remember what you've learned here today," right? The structures of our society are the cause of our loneliness because of the way we live and the way housing is built, I think most primarily. And so going to a place to like learn how to connect with people is never going to be anything but a Band-Aid to a gaping wound. But I don't know, other people have thoughts?
This reminded me a little bit of a while ago, we talked about a consultant who was helping companies find ways to treat their employees in a more human way. But it, again, similar to this in a different way, like reeked of that hyper-capitalist mentality when it should be something that isn't about making money, right? And there was just a brief mention in this article of a co-founder, of course, of something called Peoplehood. And you get these 60-minute sessions in New York City, $35 or virtually for $25, where participants can learn how to build high-quality human connections. The co-founder believes that many of us are seeking ways to be better at peopling. And while I guess from a business standpoint, I can see that more, but I think we do forget that like we're social creatures. We do have the ability to people within us. The problem, as Aaron said earlier, is the structure and the lack of opportunities to be around people and to engage with different types of people and to tap into that common humanity. It's mostly that we're like awkward because we don't do it as much. If we did it more, we wouldn't need to learn how to people.
And like right in line with this, sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but there was a quote in there and it was, "The role of the church or the community center has not kept up with the times and there's a void," says Michael Clark, a real estate developer and philanthropist who donated to Belong Center. "Having a place that feels like a small village feels like an obvious addition to the city." So the first point, real estate developer and philanthropist in the same sentence just feels really ick. But secondly, what like dawned on me while I was reading that is just showing that the upper class / upper middle class wants things that have previously been interwoven into the lower class life, part of which because, you know, people who are going through financial barriers, they need one another. So having places like that that bring community together are really important. But what is the problem with like our current community centers or rec centers? They have been underfunded. We haven't like kept up in developing, making sure that everyone has access to this. So this is just them putting that financial barrier to community. Like now you have to pay in order to have access to spaces that we should just have for free in our society because we agree that connecting to one another, especially the people that live in close proximity to one another, like that can help you the most if there's something that happens. It's just kind of sad. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing if you can afford to go connect. Like, I get it. It's been lonely. And if that helps you on an individual basis, but as Jay said, we're putting band-aids on things, but it does give us a good insight into like where we are as a society.
I recently watched a couple of videos that may seem unrelated, but are completely related. There's this one video of aerial shots of cities around the world and says, guess the city, and it'll, you know, shows the city for a little bit, and then you guess what it is. And it shows some American cities, some European cities, some African cities, some Asian cities. And the one that I was like, man, that's the coolest one. I couldn't figure out which one it was. It was Barcelona. And it's just this series of squares of buildings around each other with this empty space in the middle with whatever, you know, like a third place. And there's just, it's built for those places to be little communities within the city. It is structured that way. And then there was another video showing Kansas City in 2023 versus Kansas City in 1903 from downtown. And shockingly, the picture from 2023 is just this empty space. It's roads and parking lots and just nothing. And then you juxtapose it with a picture of the old picture, and it's just buildings and like there's a trolley line, and there's just, you have no choice but to bump up against each other. So this is all a solution to a problem that capitalism has created, or just maybe not even capitalism, because Barcelona, super capitalist. But the way our cities are structured creates loneliness. And with losing church membership and the importance of the church and just things that force us to be together, it's definitely something we haven't really thought about. And I get like people trying to find a way for the loneliness to end, like any way you can. But buildings and just cities, the way they're built, are loneliness generating machines.
So there's this quote from the article about like how the belong center works, like how a session works. It says it's circles, as the 60-minute sessions are called, are run by facilitators who follow a curriculum of group meditation, discussion, and movement. It's a 2.0 community center. Everyone is talking about fitness and nutrition, but people don't realize meaningful relationships should also be seen as mandatory personal care. And there is so much going on in that sentence, but I think that when you put loneliness in the same category as fitness and nutrition, then it becomes really obvious that the way we have created loneliness and the solutions to loneliness suffers from the exact same problems as those other issues. We need to make a special effort to exercise because we are structurally sedentary behind computer screens and we don't live in walkable neighborhoods. And we need to make a special effort to eat well because our food system is structurally full of shit that is bad for us. And so it is in that exact same way that we are structurally lonely, and therefore we have to make a special effort to solve our loneliness, which is like another task on our to-do list in a world in which we're already stretched too thin.
Yeah.
Like, people don't have time to go to the gym, but now they have to go to the gym and go to their community 2.0 community center circle for 60 minutes so they can have a facilitator run a group meditation and discussion so they can relearn how to be friends with people. Like, how broken is society if that, I mean, but look, like, I actually don't want to shit on it too much because I think that this, I mean, besides the commodification of something that probably shouldn't be commodified, the reason this is part of today's theme is because I'm like, that's terrible, but yeah, we should probably be doing it because we're not going to fix the structural problems right away. Just like people aren't going to take the time to dedicate themselves to the meditation practice required to enter the jhana state on their own. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, let's find a shortcut. Maybe it'll be good for people. Like, I'm kind of open to, well, we've gotten ourselves in a really bad situation. Let's throw everything at the wall to see how we can get out of it. I don't want for $20 a session community center 2.0 discussion groups to be like the future of how people understand friendship. But if we've created like a few generations of completely broken and lonely people because we have structurally disconnected everyone from everyone else, and this is like the emergency ripcord we need to pull in the meantime, then like, fine, whatever. Like, make people less lonely while we build co-housing units. Let's have that real estate developer and philanthropist focus on co-housing units and do this in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the vein of not shitting on it completely, the one thing that did stick out to me about the Belong Center, which is coming out of Silicon Valley as well, so, you know, take it as you will, but they mentioned that a guy who was kind of just wanted to support the effort, but didn't really think he needed to gain value from it. He didn't feel that lonely. He said that the experience ended up being helpful because they did a group conflict resolution exercise and he practiced a mock conversation with a friend he'd had a falling out with. He said it was a good way of releasing and finding other people to release to. That stuck out to me because that's good. That is a good thing. If someone does not know how to fix like a broken relationship and wants to, like, that's worth doing. But conflict resolution is something that we start teaching at a very young age, or at least we used to. I used to have a feelings teacher that came into our classes. I don't know if you guys had that, but we literally learned how to have conversations, just like have a conversation, toss a ball back and forth, ask people questions, respond, you know, like that kind of thing. And we talked a ton about conflict resolution and how to repair, you know, a fight you've had with a friend. I don't know if they do that stuff anymore, but that is totally the kind of thing that we should just be teaching all the way in schools and, you know, through life. But you shouldn't be 54. This man is 54 and he felt he got the most value out of going there and learning some conflict resolution. I mean, that actually signals to me something else. Like maybe that's the part of peopling that we just forgot and don't know how to do anymore.
Another part of this article that stuck out to me was I think Jay mentioned there might be a for-profit wing, which was talking about bringing this to the corporate world. But it gave very much like trying to be well in our sick society, because while like kind of how Jay mentioned, like who are we to say how people navigate being lonely? And while we fix structural things, maybe it's important to do these. But I thought the corporate thing, that would be a great place for you to be able to practice this, because one, like, where do you spend the bulk of your time if you work 40 hours a week plus at work with your coworkers? So doing something like this should be good, but it's not a safe space at work. Like you have to worry about job security, especially like in corporate America, where I imagine they would sell this package just to get them back to it. But the workers being asked to kind of expose themselves in this way, like you're either not going to get authenticity or you're also going to get other fears that kind of play into how well that goes. I also can't remember, was it this article that made mention like, oh, this would be like mental health is today, or that was just like re-emphasizing how much mental health has been commodified. Again, we can get into people who need services, like there is a need for it. But the fact that it preys on people who may not have insurance, it is costly. You're getting minimal help. Like the actual benefits probably aren't worth the money that those targeted with that are getting in return.
But what stuck out to me the most about that comparison was the inherent separation of loneliness and mental health. It's like loneliness is going to be as big of a market as mental health was basically the implication of what they were saying. It was like, what do you think those are separate things? Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about either of them?
No. I mean, as someone who comes from mental health, like that statement, I mean, I can testify to how much it's been commodified. I worked for a nonprofit that did the nonprofit work and then also went after corporations with wellness programs and things like that. And it just, it is hard when you see people who need the help and need answers and they're getting bad solutions. And so we can talk about Band-Aids because that's what's being offered. But I do think that this isn't a great solution. Like, we definitely can do a lot better. Operating under a nonprofit would be one of the first things that comes to mind.
I think that's what, like, all three of these articles lacked is why. Why are people seeking the shortcut to nirvana? But why are people looking for a psychedelic trip without drugs? Why are people so lonely? And I mean, the why is this society is structured to create exactly this. And now it's accelerating. It's separating all of us. It's turning us all into, like, you know, Aaron said, we don't have any time. Like, everybody's going, going, going. It's hard to form long-lasting bonds with people that you have to schedule time to see. Like, if you don't see them every day, even people that you've known your whole life, if they have a new job in a new place or they start to have a family, it's just almost impossible. There was an article we didn't bring up in this where there's a therapist talking about, she's from Georgia, the country, not the state, and how wild it was that people are becoming addicted to the therapist. And she was talking about how your neighbors in Georgia were your therapist. You had problems, you go over to your neighbor's house. You have a big issue, you go over to your neighbor's house. You're feeling down, you stay at your neighbor's house. And like, there's just a built-in structure for community that we're just lacking.
And that's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.